Let's read Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And let's bow for prayer and ask the Lord's blessing this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know the need tonight, and you know the hearts, you know what these people, Lord, need far more than I do. And I believe that you've impressed this on my heart, Lord, and just this particular study here in this particular chapter. Lord, I pray you give me clarity of thought and my words would flow as you would have them to tonight. And honestly, Lord, just as if you were standing here tonight, that's what I desire. I want to hear from you tonight. And these folks, Lord, they came to hear from you as well. And so I yield myself to you tonight and ask you to lead us, guide us. And Lord, we'll give you the honor and glory and praise for it. We promise you that. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. Book of Romans. All right. So we read chapter 6. If you are accustomed to, if you have taken the time, I would encourage you, if you haven't, to just pay special attention to the book of Romans and kind of the transition that it makes. If we jump into chapter 1, as you start to read, of course, we're coming off of, the book of Acts. That was where we witness Paul and his testimony of salvation. How, as he was the great persecutor of Saul, and we watched him on the road to Damascus, and he goes down that road, and the Lord has this meeting with the Apostle Paul, and he gets saved, right? And then we saw this transformation take place to the Apostle Paul, and we could follow that journey through the book of Acts. And then we step into Romans, and this is almost like his opening statement, if you will, that God starts to use him, at least in the way Scripture's laid out for us, and coming from the book of Acts right into the book of Romans. And, the book of Romans chapter 1 is pretty powerful. You know, he gets pretty pointed in that book, in that chapter. If you're not too familiar with it, take the time to read it sometime to see how he gets into the lifestyles and men with men and just this ungodliness that this lifestyle was there. Then it gets into the chapter 2, and he says, "Now hold on a second." He said, "You're not quite inexcusable." He says, "If you're the one that judged, look." It was such were some of you, he says, I believe, in chapter 2. Then he moves into chapter 3 and chapter 4, and he's talking about that faith that it takes. And chapter 5, if you get into chapter 5, he starts to talk about, we see justified in verse 1, justification. And what an amazing word justification is. Have you ever studied that or thought about that or heard, the word there, that or the phrase that they say, justified? As if I'd never sinned. Anybody ever heard that before? And if you're going through the book of Romans chapter 5, you will see this portrayed very strongly, okay? And it's mainly because, he uses the word grace over and over again. And that he uses the analogy about how when we were without Christ, or when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He mentions that in Romans chapter 5. Then he talks about how that grace, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And he really finishes it off in verse 20, chapter 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And it says that if sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness into eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. We're feeling pretty good about ourselves, right? I mean, if for me, when I read that chapter, it's like, man, we're doing good. And I think that's where sometimes, if we're not careful, we can get hung up right there. Okay? And it's good. It's a good truth. I'm not downplaying it all. It's a great truth for us to realize that, we are no longer clothed. Once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are no longer clothed in the sin nature that we had before. Now he puts us and clothes us with Christ's righteousness so we can stand before God justified. Praise God on that. And praise God that he has that grace that abounds further and further than our sin would abound. Okay? Praise God on that. But now we step into chapter 6 and he says, now hold on. All right? Shall we say that, or he says, shall we continue in sin that this grace may abound? So now we're going to kind of start stepping off into the area of sanctification, right? So justification is this idea that, you know, when Jesus Christ, when you and I asked Jesus Christ to save us, and he moved into our lives, he clothed us in his righteousness. Now we're no longer, enslaved to sin and its penalty. Praise God. Penalty of sin is death and hell, and we no longer have that. We are on our way to heaven, right? But we can get caught up on, well, you know, I'm going to heaven. And I think the terminology I heard thrown around when I was young, growing up in church, is, they use the word fire insurance, right? You use this salvation as this, oh, it's fire insurance. I'm saved, you know, I can. And it. So the Apostle Paul, I think, was trying to address this through the Holy Spirit right here, that just because you're saved and you've experienced this grace, there are some things now we need to recognize and we need to know. As a matter of fact, if I were to put a title on that, the challenge this evening, it would be things to know, all right? Things that we need to know. And if you'll notice in this book or in this chapter, he says it a couple different times. In verse 3, he says, know ye not. Also again in verse 6, knowing this. Verse 9, knowing that Christ. Also in verse 16, know ye not. So we're going to kind of look at those a little bit here. But and just kind of dive in, all right? Let the Holy Spirit guide us through the scriptures here. But he says in verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Now, we know that salvation does not save us. Anybody with me on that? Or salvation. Did I say salvation? Ooh. Can we rewind that? Baptism, right? We know baptism does not save us. Y'all about to throw me out right then and there, right? I saw all the guys were getting ready to move up. Call Pastor Messinger. Let him know what's going on here. We don't support this guy. We know baptism does not save us, right? It's an identification that we saw and witnessed it last week with that dear brother that got saved. And what a testimony that is to watch somebody say, you know what, I'm going to identify. I want you to know that I am what I'm trusting is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is going to enable me, as we see in this passage here, that will enable us now to then walk in newness of life with Jesus Christ. Okay? But sometimes, just because of our daily struggle, can we get real for a minute? We have a daily struggle, don't we? You know, church, we're all human, you know? And even your pastor, don't tell him I said this. You know, he's a sinner just like you and I. And I'll get a chance to pastor some people, maybe 10, maybe 20, maybe 100, maybe 5 people there in Meriden. But you know what? I'm no better than they are. When it really boils right down to it, right? Yes, God has kind of put certain people in certain positions to lead his people, but we're all sinners, and we struggle, right? And I think part of it is if we get a hold of this truth that the Apostle Paul was, you know, used by the Holy Ghost here to write, understand that when you identified with Christ through his death, his burial, and resurrection, here's some things that you can know, right? Of course, now you know you're saved, right? But he says, look, think about this. We were buried with Christ. That word buried means cause to disappear, to deliberately forget. So are we going to have to deliberately forget that we're saved? No. Obviously, that's something that you know, we work hard to help people understand, even on, you know, you go out on your outreach times and you want to present people that opportunity, the prayer requests that are offered for people to get saved. We want them to know that they're going to heaven someday. And you and I, just as we know that, and praise the Lord, it's burning in us. We want someone else to know. That's great. That's a good sign. But the things that we need to know is, hey, that old self, and we're going to get into that here later on here in this in the verses here, but that old self, let's get rid of it. Let's deliberately forget that, right? And this may be something that we have to do on a consistent basis, daily, right? The apostle said in 1 Corinthians, I die daily. Right? Sometimes you just have to put yourself on that altar on a daily basis and die to yourself and die to that lust and that flesh and that the sinful desires. And we got to put it out there, right? But if we don't know it, right, we're going to continue to struggle day to day. We'll struggle hour by hour, right? So if you'll read that again with me, verse 3. Know ye not, so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also should walk in newness of life. Now, he talks about this again in Colossians, very similar, buried with him in likeness of his death. The great thing about this is it kind of rehashes the gospel, right? You know that the gospel, the three main points of the gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection, right? And he kind of rehashes this again. Look, we're going to have to take ourselves probably on a consistent basis through this process with God, with Christ, this process of identification. When you're, you know, yes, the baptism is a time that we can look back on and we can show people outwardly that we are identifying ourselves with Christ. But hey, let's remember on a consistent basis that I am now identifying myself today by death in Christ. I am putting that old man, I'm burying that, I'm forgetting that, I'm disowning it so that I can walk in newness of life. Let's move on, all right? So then he goes down to verse number 6, still in chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. So here comes another term that we're going to define. That word destroyed is to make of none effect, right? And I like this one here, to be paralyzed, okay? Canceled or nullified. You know, when you ever, if you've ever had some sort of a service agreement with somebody, let's say it's a internet company, a cell phone company, or something like that, and you got to the point where every cell phone company is frustrating to deal with. Anybody with me? Like, oh yeah, Verizon, we're going to move to them, and I'm probably going to get in trouble by, you know, saying this. Are we live streaming this? You know, AT&T and T-Mobile, all, right? We're going to follow that. And you make the switch because you're unhappy with this. And you make the switch because you're unhappy with that. And when you finally make that switch to where you're, you know, somewhat happy with that certain particular provider, right? It's always good to see in the bill that's canceled, right? You're no longer, you know, you're no longer responsible for that bill, you know? Anybody with me? Or nullified, right? Or like I said, the word paralyzed. You know, we've seen, and I'm not here to make fun of anybody, but we've seen it when somebody's paralyzed, right? Certain things have to be done for them, right? Maybe they're paralyzed from the waist down. Maybe paralyzed from the whole body, right? And certain things have to be done. Can that person? Let's just for the sake of illustration. If they're paralyzed from the neck down, you know, do you think they can just get up and walk wherever they want? Right? You see, we're drawing a picture here. We're destroying this old body, as he says here in Scripture. We are paralyzing that old man. We're not giving it any strength to do anything in our lives. You see that? So he says that that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So it becomes this progression for us, because in our mind, that knowing, you know, what gets us in trouble a lot is that mind, right? We let it go and it starts, you know, oh, well, I can do this or I can do that. And what was the tree that the Adam and Eve got in trouble for eating of? Tree of what? Knowledge. You gotta be careful of knowledge. Sometimes we can know too much, right? Anybody with me on that? But here in this particular passage, the Apostle Paul said, let's use this knowledge to understand that we are dead, that our old man can be paralyzed and put away, nullified through Christ. So we are now working ourselves now into this idea of sanctification, right? So justification happened when we got saved, but now we are, sanctification is a consistent work that the Holy Spirit has got to do in us. But if we are like just consistently yielding to the flesh, as we'll get into here later, and consistently giving in and consistently forgetting and consistently, you know what? We'll never be sanctified, right? We'll never be that righteous person that we're supposed to be, you know, that would match up to Christ. And that's the goal. And is it any wonder that Christians are so frustrated and beat themselves up all the time? Well, if we could just grasp this concept and get in the Word of God and let Him guide us and direct us, how much more we can make, have victory in our lives, okay? Next, so we saw first that knowing that we were, as Christ was baptized, we were baptized into His death. That was we talked about being buried there to identify with Christ, to deliberately forget, to cause to disappear that old flesh. Then we got into the verse 9, the old body might be, the body of sin might be destroyed. That's to put away, to make none effect, that paralyzed. Now, verse 9 says, now knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. Okay? Again, we're trying to identify with our lives with what happened with Christ. Okay? So he moves on. He says, for in that He died, verse 10, He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God, which is where we ought to be. We need to be living unto Him. Our flesh is going to battle us and battle us and battle us. But if we have taken these steps to put it to death and cause it to be paralyzed and to make it of none effect, canceled, void, nullified, out of it, done, we put it away, then we can walk and we can live unto God. Now, I like this word here in verse 11, okay? Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, some of you know, our home church, sending church is down in Texas. We're not reckon like they say reckon. Okay? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody? You're Oklahoma. Somebody came from Oklahoma. They say I reckon, right? They might say I reckon. What part of Oklahoma? Where are we at? I'm sorry? It's Oklahoma City. Okay. Well, they kind of say, they try to be Southern, right? Anybody with me on that? Okay. So, anybody here that has spent time in the South, you know what I'm talking about, right? I reckon. You reckon it's going to rain today? I reckon. You reckon you'll come over for dinner, right? So, this isn't that, right? I'm just trying to clarify the, maybe I didn't have to spend that much time on that because we all speak right around here. We know what reckon means, okay? So, just maybe a funny little time there. But reckon in this particular terminology, if you look it up, it means to count on it, all right? Or to deposit to your account. I heard this story once about this man. He was driving. He was a little bit hungry. And it was back in the days when checkbooks, right? We don't really do checkbooks anymore. I've seen some people at the grocery store using checks. Not too many people do them anymore, but we know. Anybody remember checkbooks, right? And you carried the thing around. He had to look at it, make sure your balance was right, wherever it was. Okay, so this man, you know, he looks in there. He's hungry, and he looks in there, and he, man, I've got like 50 cents in my check. There's no way I can go buy a, you know, even back in the days when the burgers were 50 cents, right? Now, if I do that, I can't do this, whatever. Well, he said he turned a corner, and the sun was in his eyes. He pulled the sun visor down, and the piece of paper fell out onto his lap. And he looks at it, he picks it up, and he realized it's a bank deposit slip that somebody had given him a check for like $50, $70 or something earlier, and he deposited in the bank, but he forgot to put it in to his check register. Well, guess what? He didn't reckon. Right? He didn't reckon that amount into his checkbook. So he did not know that he was actually $75 richer, if you will, than he actually was. Now, you and I fall in that same trap when it comes to our sin and our position in Christ. I'm trying to encourage you a little bit tonight, church. You know, if you would just understand, you have his righteousness deposited in you. You know, you have been, he has reckoned that to your account. And if you and I are not careful, we get so dragged down with that old flesh because we didn't take the steps necessary to see that now, hey, look, the deposit slip says the money's there. You know, he's put enough money into your account that you can just live off of his righteousness for the rest of your life. But you know what we do? We drag ourselves back in to that old dead sin and that old dead flesh week after week and day after day, and we come in just beat up by sin. God help us, right? If we could just live in the spirit, right? He goes into it now. It kind of changes of direction here, and he says, look, likewise, recognize also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. So understand, take this, deposit it, that you're dead to sin. Okay, I thought about doing this. I'm not sure about the sake of time, but you know, we always have teenage guys down here, right? Or single guys, and bringing them up here and having them be dead, right? you're already getting the thought in your mind, and you know they're dead, and you just kick them, right? Kick a dead person. What's going to happen? Yeah, you want to come on up? No, but you have a corpse laying there, and you kick them, right? Are they going to kick you back? Well, they better not, right? Exactly. They cannot. You're dead, right? Dead to sin. Understand, sin's going to come after you, right? Tomorrow morning, first thing, it's coming after you, right? It's going to look at you and say, hey, you remember me? Let's do this. It was fun, right? And you're going to think about that pleasure that you had for a season. And you're going to think about that pleasure. And you have a choice to make. Are you going to reckon that righteousness that Jesus Christ has already deposited in your account? You can walk in that righteousness. Or you can jump right back into that nasty old sin again. Right? So he says, look, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed. That's truly, I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, you're dead, okay? Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. Don't allow it. Just don't allow it. And your members in as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. That word yield, relinquish possession. Understand these terms, right? You're forgetting it, you're burying it, you're putting it away, relinquish it. You know, you're starting to feel a little bit less in control now. But that's a good place to be, by the way. If you're under his control and you're not under the sin's control, that's a good place to be. So we come down to now the last word that he says, the word no. He says, know ye not, verse 16, that to whom ye yield yourselves, his servants ye are. right? To whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So you can relinquish the power one way or the other. I know this is basic, probably basic truth, folks. I'm not trying to, you know, down talk to anybody. I just understand that we all struggle, okay? I believe that. I believe we all struggle, and we all it hits us in the face every day. It may be different ways, but it gets after us. Satan is not happy that you're going to heaven. So he's going to try to disrupt your life as much as he possibly can. And he's going to try to do what he can to keep others from hearing about going to heaven. How's he going to do that? Well, if he can drag you down in sin, then you're not going to want to tell anybody about it. So why does the church struggle? Why do people not want to go to church anymore? Or why? Well, maybe it's because the Christian people have stopped reckoning that they have his righteousness in their lives. Help us, right? Help us. And at some point, we relinquished the power to sin, and we became servants to sin instead of servants of obedience and to righteousness. I think I'm done here. But I trust that, he closes this out. This is, of course, the famous verse of Romans chapter 6, verse 23. You know, understand now, as you trek through that chapter and that, you know that you're dead, and here's the death, burial, and resurrection. Here's these, you can identify with Christ and all that. And he kind of finishes it off. We use it in the gospel presentation. I'm sure often many of you have that the wages of sin is death. Understand, you decide to yield yourselves to sin, then there's going to be some death, right? And obviously, ultimately, sin, the punishment for sin is death and hell. But we need to understand that even as a Christian, guess what? There's still a wage for sin. And it could be death in your spiritual life or death of some things. Maybe someone else might miss heaven because your life was supposed to be right with God and go tell them, and God had it planned out just for you. I know there's going to be blood on my hands for that. I wish it wasn't so. You know, heaven help us, right? Somebody will probably go to hell because of my rotten, self-righteous. I thought I yielded to sin and all that, right? So let it not be. Well, let it not be the case, right, church? Let's know these things. Know that when he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. We destroyed the old body, and we raised to walk in newness of life. We reckon that there's that righteousness is deposited in our account. There's plenty there for us to live off of, all of us, right? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity this evening, Lord, to preach the word, and I pray and I trust, Lord, that you were honored and glorified in all that was said this evening. Lord, I trust that whatever the case may be, whatever the need is tonight, maybe somebody's here that's not saved. Maybe they've not stepped into that part of life, and maybe they've not trusted fully your saving grace. Lord, I pray that they'd get that settled. But Lord, those of us who are, I pray that we would understand we need to yield ourselves to you. In Jesus' name I pray.